Swami Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki Iskan Phongacharya Srila Haridas Srila Prabhupada ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakurji Premsi Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chudaita Garada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to the Son of the World Jesus. All glories to the Son of the World Jesus. All glories to the Son of the World. Glory to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 25 and 26. I'll do 25 and then we'll do 26 responsively. Tata katipayer mashair Vrishni bojan andikaya Yayu prabhasam samrishta Ratayadeva vimohita. Translation. A few months passed, and then, bewildered by Krishna, all the descendants of Vrishni, Bhoja, and Andaka, who were incarnations of demigods, went to Prabhas, while those who were eternal devotees of the Lord did not leave but remained in Dwarka. Text 26. Tatra snatva pitrin devan Rishim shaiva tarambasa Tarpa itvata vipravyo Gavo bahu gunadaru Trasnatva pitrindevan Rishim Shaiva Tad Ambasa Tarpa Yitvata Viprebhyo Tavo Bahu Gunadaru Trasnatva Pitrindevan Rishim Shaiva Tarambasa Tarpayit Vata Viprebhyo Gavo Bahu Gunadaru Trasnatva Pitrindevan Rishim Shaiva Tarambasa Tarpayitvata Viprebhyo Gavo Bahu Gunadaru Trasnatva Pitrindevan Rishim Shaiva Tarambasa Tarpayitvata Viprebhyo Gavo Bahu Gunadaru Trasnatva Pitrindevam Rishim Shaiva Tarambasa Tarpayit Vata Viprebhyo Gavo Bahu Gunadaru Tatrasnatva Pitrindevam Rishim Shaiva Tarambasa Tarpayit Vata Viprebhyo Avo Bahu Gunadaru Tatra, there. Snatva, by taken bath. Pitrin, forefathers. Devan, demigods. Rishin, great sages. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Tat of that. Ambasa by the water. Tarpayitva by pleasing. Atta thereupon. Viprebhya unto the Brahmanas. Gavaha cows. Bahuguna greatly useful. Dadu gave in charity. Translation and purport by Zvayangura Srila Prabhupada. After arriving there, all of them took bath, and with the water of this place of pilgrimage, they offered their respects to the forefathers, demigods, and great sages, and thus satisfied them. They gave cows to the Brahmanas in royal charity. Purport. Amongst the devotees of the Lord, there are several divisions, mainly Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas. The Nitya Siddha devotees never fall down to the region of the material atmosphere, even though they sometimes come onto the spiritual material plane to execute the mission of the Lord. The Sadhana Siddha devotees are chosen from the conditioned souls. Of the Sadhana devotees, they are mixed and pure devotees. The mixed devotees are sometimes enthusiastic about fruitive activities and are habituated to philosophical speculation. The pure devotees are free from all these mixtures and are completely absorbed in the service of the Lord, regardless of how and where they are situated. Pure devotees of the Lord are not enthusiastic to put aside their service to the Lord in order to go visit holy places of pilgrimage. A great devotee of the Lord in modern times, Sri Narottama Das Thakur, has sung like this. To visit holy places of pilgrimage is another bewilderment of the mind, because devotional service to the Lord at any place is the last word in spiritual perfection. For pure devotees of the Lord who are completely satisfied with the transcendental loving service of the Lord, there is hardly any necessity to visit the various places of pilgrimage. But those who are not so advanced have the prescribed duties of visiting pilgrimage sites and regularly performing the rituals. The part of the princely order of the Yadu dynasty who went to Prabhas performed all duties to be done in a place of pilgrimage and offer their pious actions to their forefathers and others. As a rule, every human being is indebted to God, the demigods, great sages, other living entities, people in general, forefathers, etc., for various contributions received from them. Thus, everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. The Yadus who went to the Prabhas pilgrimage site performed their duties by distributing land, gold, well-nourished cows, and royal charity, as described in the following verse. Om Gyana Tirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshuvintamina Tasmai Shri Gurudeva. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Staptam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupakara Mayam Dadadi Sapadam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Gadada Shri Vasudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Krishna has graciously blessed the Lord with his footprints for 125 years, and he's about to end his precious pastime. This is the last year of the Lord on earth, and he's making final arrangements for the exit of the demigods and the eternal devotees, the Nitya Siddhas. Their external reasons, or there were some external reasons for these devotees to exit out. And these are the course of Gandhari and the course of the rishis. These are the external reasons. After the Mahabharat war, Gandhari was furious. But we can all analyze this and see if her anger was justified towards the Lord. After the Mahabharat war, she was furious. She had burnt Yudhishthira's toe because of anger, and then she turned on Lord Krishna and said, For this you did not even spare one of my son. I shall curse you and your dynasty to die within 36 years from today. But we can see Lord Krishna is in the heart of all living entities. He knew her pent-up anger. But he allowed her to do the coursing. But in some ways you can see he directed her, because how she knows 36 years? That was 36 years more the Lord had to leave the planet. Lord Krishna usually the planet at 125 years, see? So that 36 years would have reached 125 years. So how Gandhari know that? You could see that that's the will of the Lord. And so, but let us look at a moment really. I mean, was this justified? Her sons were demons, you know. She was furious that Bhima hit Duryodhana below the belt. You know, her sons were so... Duryodhana should have died by any means necessary. He was such a demon. Everyone knows how he harassed the Pandavas in so many ways, you see. And so, Lord Krishna said, "O Gandhara, besides me, no one could vanquish the Vrishnis. No one. But I would allow your course to go through. I would allow it. I mean, Gandharvi, at least one thing he could give for Gandharvi, she was a chaste woman. When she married her husband to Dhritarashtra, she covered her head, or her eyes for that matter, because he was blind. You see? So she's been renowned for being a chaste woman. You see, so at least we could accept that. But in terms of the course. And then he said that only, Lord Krishna says, only he can terminate the Vrishnis. But he would still allow the course to go on. And then later we know, like yesterday, Sri Devi was giving class about the sages' course in the Yadus also. They had dressed Samba as a pregnant woman, and says, this wife of Babaru is going to get a baby. What shall she give, a boy or girl? And then the sages said, a mace that would destroy the whole dynasty. So these are the external reasons. I mean, look. And so it might seem that it is this way, really. But the Lord could send back the devotees back to the spiritual world and the heavenly planet, however he wants. He can call for chariots, and they go back. He could make them fly in so many ways. The Lord could do it in so many ways. So, but these are the external reasons. But what we can touch upon a little bit is the dynasties. Here it's speaking about the Andaka dynasty, the Bhoja, and the Vrishnis. And we will hear through the Bhagavatam these dynasties are being mentioned, especially in the 10th canto. And so it's good to know a little about them, how they are actually coming from Soma, the sun god. In fact, part of the study of Bhagavatam is to understand that Lord Krishna is coming from the sun god, from the moon god, sorry, and Lord Rama is coming from the sun dynasty, the sun dynasty, and the moon, and Lord Krishna is coming from the moon dynasty. So, Andaka. The Andaka dynasty is related to Lord Krishna's mother, Devaki. And so she comes in that line. The Bhoja dynasty is also connected. Kritavarman is coming from that line. Radhika. Satvata, Radhika, Kritavarman. The Andaka dynasty is Satvata, Andaka, Devaki. There's a few generations in between. And the Vrishni dynasty, Satvata, Shurasena, Vasudev, and then Krishna. And then these dynasties are all related to Yadu. They're sometimes called the Yadu dynasty. And if you remember, Yadu is connected to Yayati. Yadu is the eldest son of Yayati. And Yayati is related to Nahusha. And Nahusha is related to Ayu. And Ayu is related to Pururava. And Pururava is related to Buddha. And Buddha is related to Soma. Soma is related to Atri. Atri is connected to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma to Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu to Krishna. So that's how the chain goes. And these, as preachers, we have to know this lineage. You know, I don't know if you have to remember the names, but that's how it goes. There's some generation to it. So that's how the Bhoja, Andaka, and the Vrishni dynasty are connected to Soma. And Lord Krishna is connected through these also. So Srila Prabhupada is stating here that there's the Nitya Siddha devotees. The Nitya Siddha devotees are the eternal devotees of the Lord. Whenever the Lord comes to this material world, he sends his entourage. His entourage comes to this material world before him. Parents, friends, so forth. So all the gopis, the gopas, parents, his friends, and so forth. They're all Nitya Siddha devotees, eternal devotees. And then the demigods can be within the sadhana siddha category, you see? Because basically the demigods are also like mortals, but they're higher than us, see? And so they're mixed devotees here. Srila Prabhupada speaks about the pure devotees and then the other devotees, the mixed devotees, different categories. And Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatana Goswami was explaining about devotees. A person who is fully devoted to the transcendental love and service of the Lord develops all godly qualities of the demigods. So right away that tells you that the demigods are, you know, they have great qualities to be demigods. See? And so the devotees, there are some qualities of the devotees here. A devotee is kind to everyone, does not pick quarrel with anyone. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in him. His mind is fresh and clean. He is a benefactor to all living entities. He is peaceful and always surrendered. He has no material desire. He is humble and fixed in purpose. He is respectful to others. He controls lust, anger, greed, hate, envy, jealousy. He is grave, respectful, merciful, friendly, poetic, silent. Titikshava Karunika Sudrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Satrava Shanta Sarava Sadhu Bhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. These are the qualities we all want, and we all want to imbibe and develop. Some of us, or at least, yes, some of us have these qualities already, or most of them, and some of us are working on these qualities. See, these qualities are very, very essential for our development. And we have to meditate and contemplate on them. But as we engage in devotional service, they come automatically. See, they come automatically. Tomorrow we have an exalted devotee that be here, and he imbibed these qualities. Great personality. I hope that the whole temple room shall be filled tomorrow, because Just a moment association with such an exalted soul brings about great spiritual benefit. And also we have a great soul working on the computer there also. His association is always relishable. One should stay aloof from unholy association. Lord Chaitanya continuing on holy association, and he says, avoid the association of one who is too addicted to the opposite sex. In other words, a man who is addicted to women and a woman who is addicted to men, you avoid such association. He says, it's better to live in the cage of a lion than to associate with non-devotees. See? That by association with non-devotees, one also develops bad qualities. So these we have to pay attention. Pay attention. Devotional service is the eternal life of the living entity, which is lying dormant in the heart. When one practices devotion, he revives this dormancy. The Lord is like the sun, and the entities are like sparks going out due to Maya. So the living entities in this world are like sparks. And by the influence of Maya, these sparks are going dull and dull and dull to be extinguished. But practical devotional service can revive them. See? So this is the nature of this world here. Most of the world is entrapped in this Maya. See? And only devotional service. Only devotional service can clear this illusion and bring back the spark of the living entities to their natural constitutional position as Javira Swarupahoya Krishna Nityadas. See? And so our duty is to become fully Krishna conscious and try to revive those that are not Krishna conscious. Devarshi bhutapa nrinam pitrinam nakin karonayam rinicha rajam. Whoever fully engages himself in the service of the Lord, O King, is no longer indebted to the demigods, the sages, or the living entities, his relatives, the forefathers, or any man. And if you can remember in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes here that as a rule, every human being is indebted to God, demigods, great sages, other living entities, people in general, forefathers, for various contributions received from them. Thus, everyone is obliged to repay the debt of gratitude. The Yadus who went to Prabha's pilgrimage site performed their duties by distributing land, gold, and well-nourished cows in royal charity, as described in the following verse. So this verse seems in conflict with this verse here. But really it's not. One who's fully surrendered to the Lord is compared like watering the root of a tree. And the branches and the leaves and stems are compared like the demigods, the forefathers, the pitris, the living entities, and so forth. But when we water the root of the tree, then all are being nourished. See, all are being nourished. So to those that are fully engaged in devotional service, then they're not really obliged. But those that are not fully engaged, then they are obliged. And then they should try to repay these debt these debts, so to speak, to the forefathers. The forefathers, they bring us into this world, right? The demigods supply us with all the various necessities. The living entities in various ways, you know, the plants, the flowers, trees, animals, so forth, and especially the cow. All of these, you know, so those that are not devotees or are karmis, then they're highly indebted to them. See? So this is the point that Srila Prabhupada made here. And then he was speaking about, he spoke about pilgrimage. And he said that Srila Prabhupada was saying, and he quoted Narottama Das Thakur, that for very exalted devotees, they don't care to go to pilgrimage because they are busily serving the Lord. But for those that are not so busily engaged and not so exalted, then pilgrimage is essential for them. And we know that especially in Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha is like the embassy of the Lord. Whenever the Lord comes, he comes to Bharatvarsha. You see? He lands in Vrindavan and Mathura. See? That's the embassy of art and for the Lord. You see? And that whole Varsha is saturated with holy sites, holy mountains, the Himalayas, the Vindhya, the Malaya. Meru mountain seems to be there too. Sometimes we get some conflict really. Mahabharata and Ramayana always speaks about Meru within the realm of the Himalayas, near to that. The Mahabharata and the thing. But anyhow, all these holy mountains, the holy rivers, Alakananda, Brahmaputra, Ganges, Yamuna, Saraswati, Triveni, Krishna, all these rivers. Actually, because all the rivers in India are interconnected, then all of them probably have the water of the Ganges and Yamuna. So they're all like holy rivers. See, and then you have holy lakes. Bindu Sarorova, Pushkar, Prabhash. There are many lakes in Prabhash also, holy lakes. That's why the residents would go there. And then holy sites, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and so many other places. Prabhash, the Himalayas, Kalapagran, Bhadrakashram. Many ashrams. So there are so many holy places. And like Mother Akuti is going today, I think. Today she's going to India. So she'll get a lot of benefits. Like that Prabhu was giving class the other day, and he was speaking about these places. When you go to these places, then it calms the mind. The atmosphere is different. It pacifies the mind, it purifies the mind. And one is equipoise. He is serene, placid, calm, tranquil. See? He develops equilibrium. And So this is there, and so the holy places are essential for us that are not so advanced, and we can make a lot of advancement by visiting the holy places. But for the exalted devotees, they may or may not go, it doesn't matter so much, as Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport. They are so busily engaged in service in the Lord that does matter. Wherever they are is a holy place also. See? And so So that's that for holy places. Then Srila Prabhupada speaks about the demigods. The demigods. And Srila, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says about the demigods. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shrara yanvita tepi mam eva kontiya yajanti avidhi purvakam. Whatever man may sacrifice to the other gods or to the demigods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. Aham hi sarva jagyanam bhakta cha prabhur eva cha natu mam abhijanati tatve natas eva yantiti. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my transcendental nature fall down. See, so the Lord, he is the sole enjoyer of everything. But he had allowed what you call nivritti pravritti, pravritti marg, whereby to appease the demigods, he allows some sacrifice to them, so that they can continue their work nicely as universal administrators. He had introduced what you call pravritti marg. See? But, so that means the karmakandi, they offer something to the demigods and then they offer it to the Lord. But for the devotees, he just worshiped the Lord directly. Then, within the prayers of the Vedas to the Lord, there was a beautiful verse. Let me see if I could find that verse. The prayers of the Vedas. Yeah. If the countless living entities were all pervading and possessed forms that never change, you could not possibly be their ruler, O Lord. But because they are your localized expansion and their forms are subject to change, you can control them. Aparimita dhruvas tanubrito yadi sarva gatas tarhina shashya teti niyamo dhruva netarataha. So here it's saying that if the living entities were all pervading and possessed forms that can never be changed, you could not possibly be their ruler. In other words, they would be like the Supreme Lord himself, and the Supreme would not be able to control them. But because they are localized and they change form, he controls them. And this is in relation to the Yadus. They were super powerful. The Yadus were very, very powerful. And one may think that they were like as equal to Krishna. Actually, some of them may be thought that way. Satyaki. Satyaki was so powerful, he was compared to the next Arjuna. Satyaki, Kritavarman. In fact, it would be these two who would start the uproar at Prabhas. When after the Yadus offer everything in charity, gave to the Brahmanas and offer cows in charity and so forth, they start to take wine that was made from rice, and they got drunk. And then what happened, Satyaki approached Kritavarman, and he said, "Why did you kill the sleeping sons of Draupadi?" In fact, 36 years had passed. See, and now, but when you're drunk, this is what happens. This is true. I mean, I drank for a year or two when I was young. And when you're drunk, you bring up all kind of things that in the mind. So Satyaki brought up the story 36 years back in the Mahabharata War. He told Kritavarman, why did you kill the sleeping sons of Draupadi? That was shameless of you. And then he said, why did you steal the Shamantaka jewel? You see, he's remembering these things now. Then Kritavarman said, why did you kill Burishrava? He was in meditation, you see. Why did you kill Burishrava? I mean, these are heavy stories, if you guys know them from powerful stories, you see. I mean, I don't want to touch on the stories now, but so he, Satyaki, so Kritavarman turned around to Satyaki. Why did you kill Burishrava? I mean, the way it happened with Satyaki, he had fought the whole day trying to follow Arjuna, really, and then he came across this Burishrava. And he was fresh at fighting. Burishrava didn't fight much for the whole day, and Satyaki had fought the whole day, and he was very, very tired. And then they start to fight, and Satyaki fell eventually. And then Burishrava was going to jump and going to kill him. And then I think Arjuna caught his arms. And then when Satyaki got up, Satyaki cut off his neck. You see, then it was. So then, anyhow, that was the thing. So then, when that happened, Satyaki and Kritavarman started the fight. And then some of the Yadus took Satyaki's side and some took Kritavarman's side. See? And then the fight started. And then Satyaki cut off the neck of Kritavarman. And then great fight there, really. And then later on you all may hear about it if the devotees know the pastimes. But this is how it started. And then after all the weapons finished, the reeds as Sri Devi was speaking yesterday, they grew by the beach, the beach side, and somebody pulled one up and it turned into a mace. And so they all started grabbing. It was an uproar. And that was the extermination of the Yadu dynasty. That was the external. But these were all like demigods, and that's why they had left Dwarka, because those that remain in Dwarka would actually go back to the spiritual world. If you remain in Dwarka, you go back to spiritual world, or if you leave your body in Dwarka. But those that that left their body in Prabhas, they go back in the heavenly kingdoms to continue their duty as demigods. So that's how that happened. And it's stated that Arjuna, those that were left in Dwarka, Arjuna went to Dwarka to take them. And it's stated that Arjuna was taking them as they were leaving. The water was following their footsteps. Like, have you seen the Ten Commandments with Moses and the Israelites, or so when they were coming up, you know, something like, how the water was like that. But it's stated that actually as they were leaving, the ocean was rising and the water was following them step by step. So miraculous. And the last point I would like to touch upon is the cows. They donated so much cows to the Brahmanas, the Yadus. Why? Because cow is the most precious animal on the face of the earth. And whenever we have opportunity to speak about cow protection or protect the cow, we should take to it because it's essential. When I preach online, I say that God has sent the cow to humanity to save them from bad karma. By drinking the milk of the cow, then you don't have to kill the animals for protein. See? You don't have to kill the animals. The milk is full of protein. See? This milk is full of protein. And so, when Yamaraj spoke to Yudhisthira, he said, what's the miracle food? Or what is nectar on earth? Yudhisthira said, milk. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport, several purports wrote, milk is the miracle food. And the cow is the holy cow, the sacred animal. Whenever we have an opportunity to speak about cow protection, this whole material civilization is a cow murdering civilization. Except maybe for the Hindus and a few Buddhists, really. The whole world is madly killing the cow, not understanding the serious karmic reaction, implication, the whole world. And if we are not to, when Parikshit met the Kali. Yeah, Kali was beating the cow, Mother Earth, and the bull Dharma. You know, and he said, In my kingdom, no entity is deprived of their life he said the no one is harassed in my kingdom, and especially the cow, and I would kill this Kali right away. He took up his sword, and then Kali begged forgiveness. See, Kali begged forgiveness. He said, O son of Sarabi, you need lament no longer. There's no need to fear this low-class sutra, and O mother, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there's no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Ma Sarabi Yatra Sucho Yetuta Vrishalad Bhayam Ma Rodiramba Badram Te Kalanam Mai Shastar. See, he stated there, O mother, you need not fear. You need not fear for this Kali here. I will take care of him. And so, like Parikshit, we have to also. See, and then there's that mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. The cows and the brahmanas should always be protected. See? That milk of the cow. When that milk is boiled slowly, then all the butter and ghee rises to the top, really the cream, and that is used to make butter and ghee. But the rest of the milk is very nutritious also. So if for one that has cholesterol, he boils the milk slowly, and then he drinks the rest of the milk. There's protein full of minerals. Your bones and teeth get strong. Your body gets strong. That is the mineral food for devotees. You see? These so-called scientists come with all kind of craziness about milk is bad for you and all. You know, just because they want to eat the cow, you know. They want to kill the cow. So these are the points that Srila Prabhupada made and I touched upon. I wonder if I've left anything else unsaid or undone, but I think those are the points there. But I especially mention the cow because sometimes we overlook the cruelty of the cows in this world. I mean, from 5,000 years, from Parikshit, or when Lord Krishna left the planet, to now, just 5,000 years. And millions of cows are killed daily. Millions of cows. So, at least as devotees, whatever way we can do and preach gains calculum. I always preach online about cow protection. You know, and a lot of times you get questions about cows, and I always say the cow has been sent to protect mankind from bad karma. By drinking the milk, you don't have to kill the animals or meat, and that saves us. So I'll stop with that good note there, and if there's any question or correction or whatever. Yes, Prabhu?
I'm trying to understand, I don't know the name,
Charlie. My name? Trivikram.
No, the name was, you said that Satyaki killed the five sons?
Kritavarman was with Ashwatthama. After the war finished, really, Kritavarman was with Ashwatthama. And Dronacharya, not Dronacharya, what was Kripacharya? So Kripacharya, Kritavarman, and Ashwatthama were there, and they were guarding. Kritavarman and Kritacharya were guarding, and Ashwatthama went in and killed the sleeping sons of Drupada. You see? So that was the case Satyaki was making. Why did he? Well, he helped kill them. You know, he was an accomplished leader.
He was working with Ashwatthama.
You see, and Lord Krishna would course Ashwatthama. You see, yeah. 3,000 years, you would be, your body would ooze with leprosy, and you would be crying and weeping to die and wouldn't die.
So I just wanted to comment. I really appreciate what you said about the cow.
Put in my
you, I really appreciate what you said about the cow.
Thank you.
And I was over a year ago by my neurology doctor was told that I was going to be dementia was kicking in big time, and I turned it around with. There's a devotee, her husband is Yogi Nataraj, and her name is Sundari Mataji, initiated by Bhakti Raghava Swami. She comes from a line of Ayurvedic doctors, and she turned it around by getting me on dairy. I as soon as I get up, I take 2 teaspoons of ghee, and then with every meal, I take a special, they're both Grita Gritam, special ghee, and hot milk. And
sure.
It's saved my brain as well as my life. I have so much more energy, so much more life. So,
yeah.
What do you think of this vegan movement?
Srila Prabhupada said that he instructs us, take a glass of milk, hot milk, every evening before you go to bed. And your brains would get sharp. I usually write, meat eaters are dull-headed. You know, they become dull-headed because of the meat. When you drink the milk, you get good brain substance and you could understand spiritual topics. People who eat meat cannot understand higher topics in spirituality. I write like that.
Yes.
This is why the other religionists cannot understand what is karma, dharma, reincarnation, and so forth. You know, they can't even explain the soul, which is the most basic concept in spirituality. The other religionists don't even, they hear about the soul, but they cannot even understand it. And that's the most basic concept in spirituality, the soul. Other religionists don't get it. The Christians don't get it. Muslims don't get it. The Buddhists, well, they get it a little bit because they don't eat meat, you know. You asked a question, Prabhu? Did you ask a question?
No.
Oh, thank you.
Much.
Thank you for the comment. That was great. Yes, Prabhu? Who are you? Prana Govinda?
Just reflecting on this point. So, it's a symptom of Kali Yuga. So, in the West, a dog is elevated,
yeah.
The most loved animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually the dog is considered the lowest animal.
The lowest.
And the cow, which is the most...
The greatest animal.
Yes, the greatest. It's funny, isn't it? It's the one that is being
demoted.
Yes.
That's it.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Great point here, man. Great point here. The dog, I mean, I forgot that point. The dog, which is the lowest of animals, when you call a dog eater, you really, you know, in the scriptures, when you call a dog eater, you really low. I mean, they never mention cow eating because, you know, but and the dog is demoted as the highest thing. I mean, oh, we sleep with the dog, we pump, we have this, oh my, so much money spent on the dog. You wouldn't believe, you know, I mean, it's, yeah. Yes, TTD.
Hey, Krishna loves the cows. I mean, his name's Govinda, right? But he also had two dogs. And Shivananda Sen had a dog too, and that dog, okay.
I should
hope to do half as good as Shivananda Sen's dog.
And I know, and you also have a dog. So the point is, a dog is used like as a guard and stuff. Even Srila Prabhupada wrote about that really. But dog is not going to your bed and pamper it, and you get all the best food for it. And then you cut the throat of the cow. You know, I mean, it's not like that. Even Yudhisthira, when he was leaving, Yudhisthira, a dog followed him. And he told Indra, if there's no place for me, there's no place. If there's no place for the dog, then there's no place for me. You know, so dog is a good servant. But in Kali Yuga, it becomes a master. You know, the dog is the head of the household now. You know? Whatever, but Srila Prabhupada wrote so much about that already.
Yeah,
we don't want to get into that.
You know.
Yeah. We
like a
passion. As soon as a dog touch you, you become an untouchable, really. You know what I mean? As soon as a dog lick your clothes, it becomes contaminated. You can't go on the altar, you can. Any other points? Well, thank you, guys.
Yes.
Madhuji, yeah.
Thank you for all those good points about the horrific nature of cow slaughter. And then also, like, the reactions that the people get are these wars, these random wars. From that, but I was also wondering if the way that the demigod Yadus like turn upon themselves at the end, they killed each other. I'm wondering if that's somehow a reflection of how these wars happen on this planet when, you know, there's like two nations and they're friendly and all of a sudden they like turn on each other.
Yeah.
It's like such a strange phenomenon.
It's a good point you brought up about the wars, because Srila Prabhupada said because of this cow killing, heavy cow killing, wars would be there, and we've seen how people are mercilessly slaughtering one another, really, you know, and especially for this cow killing. In terms of the Yadu, Lord Krishna allowed them that way because they were like all powerful warriors, and a good fight is good for a warrior. To die in a battle, that's the most... That, like Lord Krishna was telling Arjuna, oh, a Kshatriya is seeking a good fight, you know? I forget how the verse goes, probably. But a Kshatriya is just waiting for a fight, really. You know, he's just, that's his dharma, really. So the Yadus, the Lord allowed them to fight like that, you know, because they're like Kshatriyas, really, you know, and that's nothing to them, fight and die. It's nothing. That's a Kshatriya's dharma, you know. So thing. But this war that's taking place now, you know, the force of karma is forcing us, even if we don't want to. You see? And so these wars are coming about. America is a one of the highest cow eating country in the world too, you know, I mean. We got to pray heavy, really, and we probably got to preach heavy also. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.